Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keep it to root forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalm number 58, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summon obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. Three stanzas, Psalter 58. Our scripture reading is out of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First we read the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord, Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that he speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached into the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto, even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Thus far the reading of the scriptures. Congregation, let us try to seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Lord Almighty, holy, unchangeable, and always ready to instruct, to improve, to assist, and to condemn, as thou knowest man's life inwardly and outwardly, from very young ones unto aged ones. And we shall have to give an account unto thee, our Maker, of our thoughts, our words, and our actions. that there are sins of omission and sins of commission, that there is actual sin and there is original sin, that even a very young child just leaving the womb of the mother is already under that condemnation. And if it may grow up, then it will increase in that sinning. And that's true on this world for millions. And they don't know what these things mean. But that is, according thy sovereign grace, a remnant. And thou hast brought us at several places on earth where we were with them. And where it was also true, where the two or three were gathered in thy name, thou was there in our midst. And that's now also, Lord, our request for this morning in this congregation where we came for a number of years ago, and then there was not such a building as today, but they had a building. And they had in that time the true doctrine. And they still may have that doctrine. And bless us then with ministers who cannot preach and who cannot pray, who need to learn that over and over again. And the same for the office bearers, for the members too, when we think of the fathers as priests in their houses, and the mothers as mothers in Israel, and that the children may have that bringing up in that foresaid doctrine of which they wear the seal wherever they go on their forehead. That where they are there with that triune God in the way of baptism, in the way of instruction. And then we see that competition, that heavy competition, as Satan knows better than we do what that means, that baptized forehead. Oh, we command them unto thee, beseeching thee, if thou wilt build thy church out of them, that it may receive a new heart while they are young, as in the years behind us, we stood so often at the graves of younger ones, very young. Oh Lord, there are among us parents and grandparents who know these losses, who were in it, and they bear that with them wherever they go. Wilt thou remember thy children, that are them who are born again? They were welcomed in the strife, maybe years ago, and the strife is still going on. But there are weapons available. In the first place, the written Bible, and so many books of our fathers, which are also requested for reading, that we shall spend our time in that kind of lecture, and not waste our time in other things. And we think for our youth today about all what is coming unto them in the way of the electronical devices, which can keep them busy for hours, but it has not much instruction at all. And yet it is attractive. But thou grant them to resist. Will thou be with thy children, the two or the three? Lord, give them help. So often they have to go through difficult ways. And in this world ye shall have tribulation. But then behind that comma, be of a good cheer, I have overcome the world. Will thou visit them from on high, also today, in the way of the means? Grant what is necessary to all the office bearers. Remember our teachers. Watch over our children. Spare them on the dangerous roads and the buses, and that their Christian bringing up may happen from day to day by our teachers, and that later on, wherever they are in the society, that they shall not be ashamed to publish that and to display that and to promote that. That's the duty when we think about our confession class, the young people. When they grant every year their answer, yes, upon the four questions, will thou draw them to thyself and build thy church out of them and through them? Will thou help us this morning? Give light from above. Give the errands and the hearse. And if we may come at the end, by thy mercy and goodness and faithfulness, that we can admit it was good to be at that place, and that not for this one or that one, but because the presence of him who is now at the right hand of thee, the Father, only one step more, and he has done everything, that he will come on the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. O Lord, prepare us for that solemn hour. And then thou knowest also about this country and province, how this day is spent, which is a responsibility even for the Queen of England, but also for the governments, as once they shall have to give an account. Oh, give a return to the true principles of the Bible. Give a return to the Ten Commandments. Help us today. Make it a good hour. We command the brothers in the ministry, also of this place, make it all well for them too, and give us from time to time new students. Out of thy right hand, remember them who are in that time of bringing up. Help them also that teachers. Will thou remember, Lord, widows, widowers especially, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Let us continue by singing number 129, stanzas 1 through 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in that majesty, the great, the universal King. What follows, number 129, stanzas 1 through 5. In the meantime, your offering will be received. Beloved congregation, this day, this Lord's Day, is the so-called, if I say it in Dutch, the Weeszondag. And Wees, W-E-E-S, that is the Dutch word for orphan. And boys and girls, an orphan. And there is in almost in every congregation in North America do we have orphans that are children who don't have a father nor a mother. They died often then while they were still young, and the children were young too. In the year 1600, 1500, 1600, 1700, you had in the Netherlands and other countries, Germany, England, and so on, the so-called orphans' homes, as in that time were way more people who died when they were young, and those orphans, they need care. And the governments, they made for them homes, huge buildings, they were all clothed in the same way, colors and everything, difference in boys and girls, of course, and they had to go out on the day, and then in business or in farms, they were helping, and then at night back to their own place, where they were at tables for more than 100 at the table, and all their meals, and then some games maybe, early to their bed, and children having no father, having no mother. Think about that. How lonely they were. And yet even out of them, the Lord has chosen his chosen ones. Now today, that Lord's Day is that so-called Orphans' Day. That's after the ascension of the Lord, and that is before the coming of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask your attention in that respect for 1 Peter chapter 3, and our text is verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, and that verse 22, there we read in the scriptures, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him thus far. Our theme is the exalted mediator arrived into his glory. So the exalted mediator arrived into his glory, wherein we notice how then my 3 points. First, this lofty place is beset by him. Secondly, we see the ones who were subjected unto him. And the third point, how their hope is to be forever with him. I repeat, 1 Peter 3, chapter 22, our theme, the exalted mediator arrived into his glory, wherein we notice how. Because arrived in his glory, it says, who is gone into heaven. This lofty place is beset by him. So bodily, he takes his place in heaven. That ascension that happens in front of the disciples. And that body, the same weight as ours, if you have even this cart and I leave it and it goes down. So for sure a body, but no, it went up. And then a cloud came in between and they did not see it anymore. So how is now further that journey? Well, we have the cloudy heaven. We have the starry heaven, and I told so often, If you would see the floor at the underside of where now your feet are, yeah, that's all dust. What is the underside of the floor of the heaven? It are all stars, twinkling, millions. It's quite a difference. If then that underside is already that beautiful, what must be then on that floor? Is the heaven. There's the heaven. That's where God's people live. That's where they come. When they breathe here the last, then that soul returneth to God who has given it. And then in the day of days, the bodies will also be given. The sea gave the dead that were in her. So a reunion of body and soul. And then everlasting life. Endless. Endless. Ascension day. It's the beginning of it. Well, maybe you have a question. You say, who are that? And how many? And where? Well, Alberta, province of Canada, a little handful who may know that doctrine. Because in general, at this moment, they are, the camping, the lakes, traveling, entertainment, the so-called weekend, which finished at Saturday night, to be honest. That's your environment. You went to church yesterday. Man. And that every week. What do you have there? Well, open up. Who can tell? Who can tell? We say often to the confession class, you have the best papers. What is that? The Bible. And the three forms of unity. And the people beside you, nice, friendly, and empty. Absolutely empty. Yeah. If that is your bringing up, what do you know? But now we have that privilege. And then also the orderly line in things of the church, that we have that Ascension Day. And then after that Ascension Day, that so-called Orphan Sunday, here it is the day of Pentecost. So, the exalted mediator arrived into his glory, wherein we notice how this lofty place is beset by him. 1 Peter 3, verse 22, who is gone into heaven. This lofty place is beset by him. And as we mentioned, congregation, heaven is here. The heaven of heavens. That's the cloudy heaven, starry heaven. There's also something that you can see, but this is the heaven where the Lord will gather all his people. Gone into heaven. And you know, the birth of the Lord Jesus was in a stable, and there was just Joseph, and then the delivered Mary, and then you know the visit of the shepherds. But that ascension, that took place, you would say, public, on that Mount Olivet, and that they, till that cloud took him away, they have seen him leaving. Is now the religion finished? Is it now, thank you, goodbye? No. Now from now on, they shall have the government according to the written word of God, And they shall have also by the wonder of regeneration, they shall receive that incorporation and fellowship. And that's why we mention them here, strangers. So you can use them in your office, in your business. Oh yes. Oh yes. I wish that time I had 10 more of them. What is then the stranger? Yeah. That's for me also a question mark. You don't see them on a soccer field. They have no television. And looking to the girls, you will see the way how they are dressed to compare with our girls. They are all never in pants or things like that. And at Lord's Day, oh no shopping. No shopping. They do their groceries on Saturday. And to be honest, how strict they are. But I wish I had 10 more of them compared to what I have now. Because the job is really excellent. Excellent. But yeah, the doctrine, that seems to be, in my opinion, very, very old-fashioned. And what? How can you live when you have no television? And things like that. But yeah, they have something, I can't word it, but that must be their driving force. And yeah, now if you talk to me about heaven, does that mean that they dwell over there? When they die? Yes, sir. When they die, that soul, that's what the Bible says, return to God who has given it. And that shall happen to your soul too, but that is then to be judged. And oh, woe unto you if you see that God for the first time. Woe unto you. Because he shall deal with every human being. I told you more often, there are still among us who will remember the late Reverend Kite. He was really a missionary minister sent out from the Netherlands to Irian Jaya. And his first trip was by boat. And then they went around Africa and they could see the shore and the trees and the cities. And then he said to a person beside him, that man, he says, is that now your territory? No, he says, that's still further away. But if we don't go to them, then they are all lost. What is that? Overestimation? No. 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 That is knowing your calling. And you here in front of me, you all are missionary ministers. Not in the official way, but your colleagues around you. You're not a minister. Well, I told you that, eh? That once they ask, after that man had spoken, they say, where is he a minister? He was not a minister. Oh, my hearers, do you know what that contents that is to free yourself, even of your own husband and your own wife and your own brother and sister? Gone into heaven, this lofty place is beset by him. I have to finish my first point. I do that with a question. to where are you heading? Do you know your destination already? When you are in a plane or in a bus, then you know your destination to where you have to go. But about the end of our life, yeah, if you have no Bible, they can tell you everything. But you say, you know, in my Bible, I see that there are only two destinations. Oh, then I think you with your Bible, that you are going into the right one direction. Well, if you ask me that, this may be complicated for you to listen to, but no, we are not all converted in our churches, but we are there to become converted. We call that to be under the means of grace. That's not a soccer field. That's not shopping. But that is one who is explaining the Bible to me and my children. And it is sometimes that I go home and that my first job is, yeah, to hang your coat somewhere, yeah, but no, to bow my knees and to say, Lord, that went quite deep this morning or afternoon or evening. Is it possible that thou will apply it to me and to my children? Is that not the one thing needful? Are all the other things not secondary? When you hear, who is gone into heaven? Is there a more solemn place? As we said already, if you see like the underside of this floor is dusty and everything, but heaven, my hearers, that cannot be mentioned in our wording, who is gone into heaven, and that was original our destination. But then, through our deep fall in Adam, we lost that destination. What is then now the destination? It starts also with the letter H. And in both words, the letter E. But then comes the difference. Heaven or hell. Behind the E, in one case, only two L's. Is there not anything in between? Is that no soul destined that it is or this or that? Yes. Yes. And now I said in my first point, this lofty place is beset by him. Well, that is heaven. Who is gone into heaven? And the text says, is on the right hand of God. And that does not mean, when we speak about God, that this God is a spirit. But the right hand of God, also Christ is in heaven. And we can take it in a figurative way, or in a bodily way, but the right hand is still today more favorable than the left hand. That's not to blame anybody, but you have people, they cannot write with the right hand. But if you take 100, I think 90 take the right hand. We always more or less choose for that right side. And when the Lord says to be placed at his right hand about our everlasting destination, or to be at the left side, then we know there are only two destinations. And by nature, man is also hanging, and his place is and will be that left side. But bringing the gospel, then they will hear there is also a right side. But to be honest, you by nature belong to that left side. And is that now definitive? No. My task is, as sent by God, to show you that right side and to invite you to that right side. And in that invitation is the call for regeneration. The way as you are now by nature, you cannot be placed at that right side. You belong to the left side. But there are millions who have never heard that distinction. But you grew up under it. And you know very well there is indeed a remnant who may have that right side. If I think here about the Lord's Supper in front of you, and other places, situations. So it is written and is on the right hand of God. This lofty place is beset by him. We see the ones who were subjected unto him at that right side. Because then the text says, angels at the right side. And we know, congregation, angels were also created. But among them a number became, under the leading of Satan, they came in opposition. And for them, the Lord has closed the door. With this difference, that the door is also closed for man. But for man there is law and gospel. For a fallen angel is no gospel. There is no preaching to them either. They have a definite destitution. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels, that are the ones who kept their principle, for whom the devil was not strong enough, so to speak. Angels. And the service of angels is sometimes visible in the life of God's children. The city of Middelburg, that's now taken away, but in the time of Smijtegeld was that a little bridge over a small channel. And the enemies of that beloved minister had the intention, when he would pass by, it was night, it was dark, to throw him over the railing in that water, and he had a heavy coat, it was winter, that would become his end. And while they were waiting till he came, and it is very well known what I tell you, it is in many books that you can read it, there were at both sides white persons that were angels. And they left that place as soon as possible. And the years went by. And one of those two had to die. And there was a physician. He says, there is something that keep you alive. Tell it me. He says, doctor, are you willing to call that minister? And Smijtegeld was very well known in Middelburg, so that was soon done. And then the minister beside that bed, that man confessed. He says, reverend. It was our intention to kill you. But while you came to that bridge, you had that both sides, a lighting person. And we left. We ran away. We ran away. It is taken away in 1560 or in 1960 or 1970, that bridge. But for about more than 300 years, it was het Smijtergaalbruggetje. It's the care of the Lord. Oh, young people, do never, never mock with a child of the Lord. Because your punishment will be intolerable. It are God's jewels, angels, and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The ones who were subjected unto him. Angels first, of which I gave you an example, but authorities, yeah, this may be then the queen, yeah, the governors, yes, the mayors, yes, my teacher also, they have some authority. Office bearers, ministers, and we have to respect the authorities. If that is taken away, then you got, and I'm sorry to say it in Dutch, anarchy. There must be an English word for it. Anarchy. That makes a community impossible to live in. And to live with. So authorities, that means that we still have in the common grace the ones who rules us. And we have to obey them. But I haste myself to say, if we ourselves have a certain authority, what a responsibility. What a weighty thing. Think here about the people who rules a city, a country, governments, the military part of a country, but also the office bearers in the church and the authority children of your dear father and mother, if you still have them. And of your teachers at school, you have to respect and to obey them. I know cases of teachers that they could not longer handle it because of the disobedience of their pupils. We have to respect the authorities, children. Don't forget that. And if you have people who try to make some influence upon you in a negative way, shun that, warn them, and get away from it. Authorities and powers. What are these powers? What do you think? That is first this Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. You are not allowed to change one text. And, excuse me to be a little bit personal, but when we had to go to theological school, I came out of the steel scaffolding world and had to take care for the safety of 400 people. And we had our scaffolds. I often spoke to a Roman Catholic priest in the churches. We made scaffolds to get the ceiling and everything. Of whom I had conversations who were given by the Lord. A congregation, when it says powers, the ones who were subject unto him, that is the power that the Lord has given also to his word. And the sound preaching of that word of God. And there can be a time in your life that you are in a difficult position. can be family-wise, can be business-wise, can be health-wise, and you don't know what to do. Lay then yourself before the Lord and before the Bible. And you may say, Lord, there are about 35,000 texts in the Bible. Is there one available for my situation? It says so nice in the English language, he hears the needy when they cry. What is now the most nice congregation, do you think? It are the needy ones. It are the missing ones. Yeah. Who have received, maybe years ago, hope, encouragement, solution. Well, they were in problems, but yeah, they say, you know, it is gone. Yeah, but wait a minute. 1,000 years are in thy sight, but as yesterday, he says, I change not, oh my hearers. Beside preaching is the most nice work in church life, visitation. Brothers, don't forget that. There's always one to one. And you have a sender. You come on behalf of. And if there is in front of you a missing soul, yeah, you cannot open their heart. But the Lord can give you words that is used to open their heart. And where they open up, there you have to listen to two things. I told you that earlier. Forgive me. Where is the beginning? And how far is the Lord with that soul? And it is not every visit that you have that, but my hearers, where you receive the freedom to talk to them, and there is from their side an echo, then the clock is your enemy, because then there are things of eternity on the table. Authorities, then the Lord gives you in your office the authority and the power to deal with people. Being made subject unto him. We see the ones who were subjected unto him. And angels and authorities and powers, that is more or less high ranked people, yeah, but they have to bow before the Lord. And what is now the poverty of a country when you have rulers who have no King James, who have no Bible, who have no Lord's Supper, who have no baptism? That is, my dear hearers, that is very pitiful. Then I remember a former elder in Lethbridge who knew much of the early years here of the immigration. And that at that time the government was different as today. Oh, still they have authority and powers, but do they have that without or with God? That is a great difference. And if then you have your ruling and you do not need him, oh, then I did not like to be in his or her position. It says, angels, authorities, powers, being made subject unto him. And that means that we all need to bow. How their hope is to be forever with him, to bow under God, but at the same time, to receive his help and strength and guidance in every step of our life. All the young people, what are now your ways? Are you sometimes busy with things that you have heard that deputy of God warning you? Stop it then. Oh, it is attractive, we know. But with your baptized forehead, you are set apart. And you have to meet that God, which can happen suddenly. May I ask you this morning, are you prepared? If this would be your last sermon, parents in the bringing up, grandparents, being made subject unto him who is doing that. That is the Lord's work. Because that subjection, that taking the lowest place, that's the power of his Spirit. And there he wants to see his people. Do we not have nice examples? Think about the Moses. Think about an Abraham. Think about David, think about the Paul. Their life is written in the Bible for our learning. And now there need to be a similarity between them and us as congregations made subject unto him. I would say this morning, now in the climate of this speaking, I do not know a nicer statement than the last part of my text. Being made subject unto him. Because in paradise we want to get the highest place. But now the preaching is that you get the lowest place. That's why you are here. It's all what you need. Humiliation. True unworthiness. Not here, but here. At the inside. And for that people, that ministry. I told you that. Forgive me. That was that dear Reverend Lemain. He says, if you lay there, then he lays himself beside you. I said, dan komt God bij je liggen. Ja. And that is now my hearers. What we need to know for our own hearts. And if you read it, and there comes a need in your heart. Oh, that door is never closed. That office is always open. Then you say, Lord, is it possible to instruct me, to convert me, to save me? Because by nature we are lost ones. Shall you have compassion with your fellow traveler to eternity, whom you hope to meet tomorrow again? I say so often to the confession class, their soul is of the same importance, but they know nothing, or they have the wrong doctrine. Being made subject unto him is a work of his dear Spirit, but also does the power of the Bible. You have to sing because of the time, congregation. 302, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. And what follows? 302, 1, 2, and 3. situation that is more than time to finish, which we have to do. And I hope to do that with a question. Did you already see that authority in the scriptures? In the sound preaching of that word of God, in the offices, in his church, and all the other things that belong to the Lord and to his precious word, that we have to bow under it and to come to that question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that will be answered, congregation, on his time. It is often that we have to learn to wait. But if we ask a person who is waiting, what are you waiting for? And then doctrine-wise, then that person can answer such a question. Oh, they say, I have seen a glimpse of him. And that was so sweet, so precious. But it was disappearing again. And to be honest, so often, that's by my own fault, because the world is still so attractive. And so soon I make a mistake. I am still so ignorant and not careful enough. In all these things that is laying in Paul's exclamation, wretched man that I am. But then I may say this morning that there are sometimes cases, medical, that even the most experienced surgeon don't know how to start it. I think I told you once a case that I had on a Saturday afternoon in Sioux Falls after an accident with a tractor. That the boy's both arms were almost gone. But I was there. I say, may I ask a blessing? But they did not say yes or no. But I stopped. It was a prayer of a minute, shorter even. Oh, my ears. Do that now for yourselves, Lord. I am still unconverted, but under the means of grace, and thou art a God who works instrumentally. And as he make a beginning, then is always our question. At first you try to listen to that beginning, but then, how far is it now in the further exercises of that true saving faith? Do you know, as a minister, that sometimes you will embrace your whole congregation, but you cannot convert one of them. But you know they all need it, and there is not a nicer work than to promote that kingdom of God. How? In the establishment. That's not the word that I like to use. In the showing, in the revelation of that second person. There comes the opening, congregation. And that's the Son of the Father, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father did not become man, the Spirit did not become man, but Christ came in the steps of his humiliation, and we have to follow him in that step, people of God. And then the exaltation, and the last one, that he shall come on the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, my hearers, that he may prepare you for that solemn hour. Amen. Lord, although with so many, many shortcomings all the time, it will never change, but we beseech thee that thou may have used and taken it to use it for our conversion, also our dear children, Bring each one safely home, maybe an empty home. Give to the office bearers what is necessary. Dwell among us. Remember also the country, the United States, and also our congregations in Europe. We commend them all unto thee. May we come again, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 420, 4 and 5. Is there a collection? Yeah, 4 and 5. The Lord is great, his might and hold, his chariots thousandfold. And what follows? 420, 4 and 5. peace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.